Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day.
All right, Fern. We're going to talk about the general warm-up. Let me ask you a question.
Just touch your toes and go, right?
Look, one time I was at a level one, and I think Andy Hendel was leading the workout. He goes, look left, look right, 3, 2, 1, go. So for those of you who don't know, what was he, on the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, he did play for the Dolphins. I just worked with him. When did I work with him? Like in, I worked with him for the last seminar of the year. Me and just, we just did a two-person, me and Andy. Coach, I love Andy.
He is as old school as you get in the fitness world.
It's great, dude. I love working with him because he brings that old like high school ball coach vibe to the seminar, which I think is great.
I mean, he's literally an old school.
I mean, yeah, he's not coached in college. I think he coached a little high school too, but he definitely coached in college.
Yeah, those of you that don't know Spencer Hendel's father, who, you know, Spencer obviously multi-time games athlete, one of the founders of CAP. But while we're talking about the general warm-up, the big picture of this episode is what makes a good general warm-up. But let me ask you, what's the point of the general warm-up?
Yeah, just to get the people going. That's what the point of the general warm-up is. Like, this used to be like the bane of my existence, right? Just like constant, because it's, I think the general warm-up is where you're kind of left to your own creativity. And it can seem like you have to recreate the wheel, be like, well, we got to come up with a super special, unique, sexy general warm-up. And then you do it long enough, you're like, no, we could do jumping jacks for 2 minutes and then like a couple of like fall down for 30 seconds after that and get up. And then that would qualify as a general warm-up. But, you know, if we're really going to dive in there, like go back to the level one and level two, whatever you do inside the general warm-up, we have to get people ready for what is coming. So insert high intensity, whatever, or even a moderate intensity or low intensity day. So like get the joints ready to move. Core temperature needs to go up, preferably get their respiratory rate up. But again, like get them ready to go. Anybody who ever like, did you, like you obviously wrestled. So anybody ever played sports kind of knows this. There's like, if you weren't like adequately warmed up, like prior to going, there would be an initial portion during either maybe for you, like the beginning of the match, or for me, like that first couple minutes in the first quarter where I would feel out of breath.
Yeah. We used to call it your second lung.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you can do that prior to the workout, like now you're ready to go, right? You can skip all of that. And I used to hate that. And I was like, God, that means I did not warm up. Like it means I did not peak myself just enough to like get rid of that. So that when I'm now into the game, I'm running full speed and I feel like I'm running full speed.
Well, that's why I love a good WOD buildup, which would obviously happen later in class, but this is certainly your ramp up towards that. The other thing I think about the, you know, foundations of effective movement. I'm sorry, not the foundations lector, effective coaching.
Oh,
effective, yeah. Coaching level two, first lecture of the day. One thing I always say when it comes, you know, oh no, it is.
No. Yeah, it's foundations. It's foundations of effective training.
Yeah, yeah. When we talk about the general warm up, one of the things I always say is you got to get your mind right. Like whether it's the 5 a.m. and the people are just getting out of bed, or the 5 p.m. and they're coming from work, like they need to. Oh yeah, you know, like it's not just walking into the gym now. It's like, hey, we're walking in and we have a purpose for the next hour, and that general warm up really starts to get it going. And for all you coaches out there, I think what's neglected is this is really where coaching starts.
I have been told in good authority that this is a significant failure point for people in the level four, which is they do no coaching during that specific section, where there are movement flaws inside of a general warm up. There are movement flaws virtually everywhere. And that's where coaching starts, right? So if they're not if you're doing lunges, they're not lunging far enough, you tell them to lunge further. If their knees caving in on the lunge, you tell them, you know, to push their knee out. If they're up on their toe on the forward foot on the lunge, you tell them, be like, hey, drive that heel down. Like if they're doing like a Samson stretch and they got their hands overhead, I'm like, hey, push those arms up, pull your ribs down, right? Like all these are all like coaching pieces to start like getting them into good positions and start getting that kind of mind body connection happening, so that when we put them, you know, in what is training, which is under duress, they've already started to kind of get those neural pathways like warmed up and ready to go.
Well, yeah. And if it's a movement you're doing, if you're not coaching it, you're just getting dozens, if not hundreds of bad reps in, you know, and also an opportunity to say names. You know, we talk about checking in multiple times. Well, yeah. I mean, that's right where it starts. Like when I run the day two workout or the day one workout, no, it's day two now, isn't it? The conditioning at the level two. It's, you know, that's where I start.
Yeah, day one is heavy day.
You know, immediately getting into names. So,
well, I think it's just like what you're highlighting there is just like that's your opportunity to check in, right? So if you didn't get an opportunity to check in with people before they got there, or maybe at the whiteboard during the warm up, because it can still be very casual, but that's still my opportunity to like go down the line and like, hey, how you feeling? Like, good. All right, what'd you do this weekend? Like, you can have those conversations while they're doing all of this. And you should.
Yeah. I mean, that, like, other than when you're just kind of standing around, that they're moving casually, that's when you're checking in, like nutrition, sleep, all those things that we don't get to always influence. You know, one of the biggest mistakes we see is the general warm-up is where you can lose a lot of time.
Oh man. Yeah. It's one that gets punted, very often, for a couple of reasons. One is there's just too many things in the general warm-up. And then two is the transitions between said things don't happen fast enough. So there's no move with a purpose inside of the general warm up, which again, it doesn't need to be frantic and you don't have to be like a drill instructor, but you can move expeditiously from A to B. But if you are somebody that struggles with, you're constantly just punting your timeline, and that's and you've narrowed it down to like, okay, the general warm up is my issue. Then you can just do those little AMRAPs, those little talking warm ups, which is like, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. We've got three movements. It's going to be a box step up, a reverse lunge, and an air squat, because maybe we're squatting or something that day. It's going to be 5, 5, and 5. We're going to go for 3 minutes. The whole goal here is just constant movement. I don't really care how many rounds there are, but there will be a winner. And, but like that, right? Like that would be an example where like, I know I'm going to be here for 3 minutes. I'm going to get 3 minutes of continual movement, at which point I will check all of the boxes that we mentioned earlier.
You know, something I've kind of wrestled with is, there's not a right or wrong. And I know the answer is both, but sometimes, you know, if it's like 5 rounds versus 3 minutes, you know, time versus task priority in the, I'm a, like a diesel train, right? Like I take a long time to warm up. So I will be either not getting 5 rounds or just very slow. Do you have a preference of, you know, task versus time in the general warm-up? Or if someone's moving slow like me, would you eventually just be like, all right, come on, we're moving on?
Well, some of that will be dictated by what the rest of your lesson plan looks like. So it has nothing to do with like, which one do you prefer? And I'm like, which one is most effective given the remainder of my lesson plan, right? So if you think about all the things that are stacked in there, if I know I've got a wiper brief, I know I got a cool down, I know I got the workout, I know I got the break, I know I got the test round. Well, I'm there's only a certain amount of section that I'm left over with for my overall warm up, both general and specific. And then depending on what the movements are for the specific warm up, maybe it's 2 complex movements and a simple movement, maybe it's 3 simple movements. Well, then that starts to dictate more how much time I have allotted for my general warm up. So if I have more time allotted for it, I can be a little bit more loose with the timeline, and maybe I'll do 5 rounds and it takes as long as it takes. But if I'm jammed for time, I'm not going to forfeit that time. I'm like, I'm going to run the clock 3 minutes, you know, and then we're going to move on, because maybe you're not warmed up, but remember we have the specific warm up behind that, which is really where we start to grease the groove on that specific movement pattern for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that a lot. And then, Let's talk about some other, well, let's talk about before we go to best practices, anything else you typically see go wrong? We've kind of talked about like not actually coaching. potentially running long, but anything else that you see go wrong there?
No demonstration or just lack of clarity, meaning be like, hey guys, we're going to do this, this, and this. All right, everybody get it where you're going. And just foregoing that one little piece of like, hey, we're going to do this movement, and this movement. Here's what they look like. Here's what I'm going to be looking for. Great, right? So I told them what we're going to do. I showed them. I told them what I'm looking for. Reinforce those movement patterns as we work through it. So it just, it seems kind of rushed. And typically when it's rushed, it's because they blew it on the whiteboard brief, meaning like they could have had plenty of time. Yeah, they were already behind. They could have had plenty of time to demo those movements, but they did a 5-minute whiteboard brief when it could have been done in 3. And that 2 minutes could have been allocated towards like demonstrating a handful of things and maybe organizing people where you need them to go.
Any movement you would, like you said, jumping jacks earlier, necessary to demo?
That's not necessary to demo?
Well, I mean, hey guys, we're going to start with 2 minutes of jumping jacks. Do you feel like we need to demo that? Or do you feel most people have a grasp of what jumping jacks look like?
At least the way we do it at CrossFit Rife, there is a, and the demo thing, I think it gets misunderstood something. It is a general practice that you would demo everything. Now, the extent to which you demonstrate is where the nuance happens. Meaning, hey guys, we're going to do a jumping jack, right? Like that's a demonstration. It doesn't need to be a long-winded demonstration, but like just showing them, be like, yo, here's a jumping jack in case you know, it's been 50 years since you were in PE. Then you forgot,
right?
Here's what it looks like. It is a standard practice that we demonstrate everything to include all movements in the general warm up. Now, for sure, do we check that box 100% of the time? No, probably not. There's certain things we probably leave out here and there. Call it 99.9% of the time, you will demonstrate all of the movements. It's just a good practice and habit to get into.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. We may assume, hey, everyone knows what a jumping jack is, but you're right. You get a 70-year-old coming in that hasn't exercised in 55 years since, you know, middle school.
It's the demonstration is a component of teaching. So I don't know, let's say you're doing some variation of line drills, meaning like you're working back and forth in the room doing toy soldiers or lunges or some sort of Cossack squat variation. Well, demonstrating those in order to showcase what it is that you want to happen is really important. Otherwise, 50% of the group will do it incorrectly.
Yeah. And you say something like toy soldiers. I know what you're talking about, but many people may not know that. Or like, oh, we call it this. That's good to know. So let's talk about what a good general warm-up includes. This is based on what the workout is, obviously, but do you have a rough time frame of how long it should be?
3 to 5, I think, is fair. Like, I mean, obviously, you can go longer depending on what it is that you're doing. And again, some of this, I don't think there's any right or wrong answer, because again, this all gets dictated by like what are the other number of things that need to happen inside of the lesson plan. But we could probably agree that an adequate general warm up that does not include some lengthy mobility thing, right? But just to check the boxes, because some of that stuff will be addressed in the specific warm up. 3 to 5 minutes to get, you know, like think about it. Like, hey, if you went and ran even casually a half mile, a lot of people would consider that a warm up. That would take you 3 to 5 minutes. I mean, if you're sprinting, it's 3, but if you're just kind of casually running, it's 5, right?
I mean, you wouldn't be, you're probably not sprinting your general warm up 800, but I'm sure you go fast enough to do that. You know, on that note, I think a mistake people make is just that, like falling into the trap of like, all right, go run a 400. And often that's like, I've coached 3 classes in a row. I need a 5-minute mental break.
Yeah, that's a real thing too. I'm not going to fault anybody for that. Like, which if you're doing it because you're like, I just have to pee. I mean, you could do that, which is if you're going, you know, if you're going 3 back-to-back-to-back classes, like that's a real thing. If you're doing... I love when people argue on the internet. We're like, what about this scenario? And I'm like, that's not who we're talking about. Like, I realize, like, you clearly, this triggered you, and now you think that we're talking to you in your very unique scenario. That's not who we're talking about. If you're sending people on a 400-meter run so that you can come up with your lesson plan, this is where I have problems. And for the record, anybody who knows what they're looking at knows when a coach does this.
If you're a coach looking to get bite-sized daily tips on how to run better classes inside the affiliate facilitated by some of the best coaches in the world inside of the CrossFit space, check out the knowledge. Everything that you're looking for is in there. How to run classes, how to correct athletes, how to know some of the conceptual things with inside of this whole CrossFit space. Check it out. Run better classes. Check out the knowledge.
Yeah, you can tell when it's like, oh, I've thought this out and this makes sense versus I need a break. I mean, you can't go wrong. Back in the day, maybe Christian or Cody will link it, but the original CrossFit warm-up. Yeah, I mean, to this day, if I'm like, I don't know what to do, it's like, cool, three rounds, you know, work your way through that. There's Greg Amundsen is the man, you know, out there. Go do yourself a favor and find that.
So there's dips in there, or ring dips. There's GHD, hip extension.
GHD. I think he does GHD sit-ups, but you can do ab mat, overhead squat, yeah, and pull-ups.
The PVC pipe and pull-ups, yeah.
That was, you know, where that expression of, you know, your workout. Yeah, it's like literally that's a workout. What should we be looking for as a coach during the general warm-up? We kind of touched on it, but anything you would be obviously movement faults, but that's really where I would be checking in. Like, oh man, Fern looks tired today. Let me go check in on him.
Yeah, we could just broadly categorize it as like red flags. Like who's checked in and who's checked out is really what I'm looking for in the general warm-up. Like, Jay clearly has a scowl on his face because something's gone on, right? He just, you know, didn't get to eat his fucking snack or whatever. That's really what you're looking for. I mean, and then the movement stuff, you just want to make sure if you've designed the general warm-up to kind of aid the specific warm-up, meaning like it's a lower body push, right? I mean, it's a squat of some sort. And so I'm going to do things that are, you know, hip hinge, knee, ankle centric. And those things should start to highlight who might have whatever, any sort of restriction or mobility issues, who is and is not going to get below parallel, like all those kind of standard movement things. But then outside of that, just kind of what's the temperature check on everybody? Like, where is everybody at? Do I have somebody who's normally pretty jolly, who's very quiet, right? Do I have somebody who is coming off an injury and I know the injury was a shoulder injury. So, and we're doing something that is shoulder centric. So I'm kind of like watching them to see what face they make when we do certain things. So that's generally what I would be looking for. Just the red flags. Like, are they checked in or are they checked out?
Yeah. And you know, even though you may ask for injuries at the whiteboard, some people may not tell you, some people may not realize, hey, oh, my knee is bothering me. Mm-hmm. And you find that out when you look for it. What do you think about this? Should we be calling reps throughout the general warm-up? I guess that goes back to tact versus time, but do you ever call the actual reps?
Very rarely, if not almost never.
Never? Would you not, towards the end of a general warm-up before squatting, I guess you can say it's bleeding into the specific warm-up, but call some air squats?
You could, like if you're doing something like the 27 squat series or something like that, like you would call all of those.
Yeah. But yeah, you can argue like that's actually bleeding into the specific warm-up depending on
right.
What the workout is. All right,
there's a time and a place for that where the general warm-up is the specific warm-up.
Yeah, you know, one thing we talk about at the level two as well is the shorter the actual workout, the longer the warm-up. You know, if we're doing something like Fran, you know, you said, what, 3 to 5 minutes? But if you're doing something like Fran, your general warm-up may very well be 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm because I want to get them as primed as possible in order to kind of, because there's not a ton of ramp up in that workout. So we have to have done the full ramp up prior to that, you know, and that's the, and what you said there shouldn't be overlooked, but this is like kind of track, right? It's just like the shorter the workout, meaning like 100 meter sprint, way more warming up going on for that than somebody who's going to be warming up for a 5K, you know, meaning like, and I'm not downplaying a 5K, like it particularly at a high level, but sprinting is different, right? The intensity level, the risk for injury is significantly higher for something like sprinting because of the nature of the intensity involved in sprinting. Like that is max effort, peaked, you know, phosphagen pathway. If you want to get into the metabolic pathway, is like just go, right? Versus a 5K, which is like maybe I am running fast, but it's definitely not 100% output, you know.
Yeah. No, that's interesting to consider there. And yeah, you do have to factor in, you know, like, not that you would do this often, but if you're running Murph within the hour, your general warm-up does look like, all right, 2 minutes of jumping jacks, go, versus a 5 to 10 minute workout, all of a sudden your general warm-up can extend. What's your opinion on warm-up games?
I think there's a time and a place, and I think you should read the room.
I hate them.
I don't love them. I think, well, there's ones that are, so like, there's a scale of silliness.
Right, like the pizza game is ultimate silly, right?
Ultimate silly, you know, medicine ball, dodgeball, ultimate silly, right? But however, to each their own, right? Man, I'm not going to poo-poo on a gym that's doing that, and the members are having a great time, right? Like, good for you. I'm here for it. I think there are ones that are a little bit more subtle, like the rowing game, right?
Yeah, that's a little bit better. You're actually doing an activity rowing. I mean, in my experience, I've seen more injuries in silly warm-up games than in actually workouts.
I've seen some weird ones, you know, versus like, hey, we're going to do this where, you know, we're going to do the rowing game. The goal is 100, and then you're going to pass off your burpees to the person next to you, right? So it's like, that's a game, but it's rowing and burpees. Is it a game? Is it not a game? But,
well, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's where it's like, I, you know, look, you're the master roller, aren't you? You hit that 100 that time.
Hundo on the nose, baby. First time.
That's different. I think we can classify like games with movements you will see in CrossFit versus like the pizza game and other sillies. You know, like I think a great warm up. Also, this could be an after party. You ever line up two assault bikes and put a foam roller between them?
That's, I mean, listen, if you want peak intensity during a warm up, that's how you get it.
Yeah, I would prefer to see that in an after party. So how would you say done well, would you say, are move when they include movements that you'll see in the workout?
Not necessarily. I don't think it has to. I think it needs to be, it needs to strongly correlate to the movement that you are doing. Meaning, if we're squatting, I don't want to see 5 minutes of warm up for your shoulders. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Right.
And I know somebody's going to chime in, like, what if it's low bar back squat? I'm like, okay, I'll make the concession that we need to get our pecs stretched.
Yeah, even then, well, that's your first set with an empty bar will do the trick. One more topic. Late arrival to class. This is a, you know, touchy subject on the internet. What do you think? What's a good go-to warm-up to get them up to speed with everyone else and ready to jump in? And also, is there ever a point where that's just they're too late to class? So let's go with that one first. Can it be someone who's too late? When is that?
I don't know. I mean, that you would have to get, you'd have to make an individual decision on each workout that you're doing, right? Like too late for class if we're doing Cindy. I don't know, 5 minutes, right? Like, how much warming up do we really need to do for, you're going to be warmed up in the first three rounds of that, and then you're good to go. Versus warm up for Amanda. Yeah. 3 minutes prior is not going to cut it, you know, snatching and muscle up. Like that's not going to fly. So I think, I just think it's something that you'll probably have to think about a bit more as a newer coach, where like, hey, if somebody walks in late, like at what point am I saying no to this?
Yeah.
You know,
it's really when you feel like it's no longer safe.
Right. Right. No longer safe. Meaning like, I have not seen this person move. This is not adequate time to get to the intended load.
Alternatively, hey, you could do Amanda, but you're doing it with 75 in pull-ups versus 135 in muscle-ups, right? So,
right.
You know, hey, I cannot stay for the second class. Well, here's what I feel comfortable. You know, as a coach, you need to feel comfortable, I suppose. What?
Yeah, and maybe they can't, right? But like if you show up 25 minutes late for class, I don't think it's unreasonable for the coach to be like, yeah, probably can't hop in here. Like, it's just go. And, but then what do you do? Right. It's not just like, piss off, you tardy bastard. Right. Like, you have to, like, I'm like, hey, cool. Like, go hop on the rower and I'll give me some time to think of something that you can do while you're here for 30 minutes, but go get on the rower for 5 minutes in the midst of the rest of this going on. I'm going to gin up something for you. You can do over there in the corner, you know, like try to deliver something. Right. Because if they're walking in and they have 35 minutes, well, let's factor in the fact that they only have 35 minutes. Right. And they still need to get warmed up to get out of there on time, but it's probably not going to be that workout because you have to factor in logistics. Like, is there even space for them to do this other thing inside of the walls of your facility? So sometimes I'm like, hey, go get on the bike, just bike for 30 minutes. You're late. Like, do something. Something's better than nothing.
Yeah. And I guess that's the second part. Like, it's obviously relative to what the workout is, the load is, et cetera, but do you have a good go-to?
A good go-to what?
Like, hey, someone's late, but maybe it's not as simple as Cindy and not as complex as Amanda, like in the middle, like moderate load, but a gymnastic movement, like a pull-up or dip that you want to get them warmed up. Do you have a, I'll give you like what I might say, like 5 minutes on the bike and then a round of the CrossFit warm-up is enough to like, okay, let me see how you're feeling, and that could dictate the load.
Yeah, I mean, or it's just something where it's just like, hey, go over there and I want you to do like five rounds of, you know, 150 meter row and three burpees over the rower.
Yeah.
You know, just like to get you going and just kind of see where they're at. Just again, like just movement is the whole goal there. So
anything else you'd add about the general warm-up before we wrap up?
Just don't overcomplicate it. This used to be like the, it's just like, you don't have to get overly complex with the general warm up because you can accomplish all the things that you need to there by keeping it simple, you know, and then you won't forfeit the time that you're not going to get back, which inevitably you will forfeit if you make it overly complex. So have a go-to in your back pocket that like as a default, be like, hey, if things fall apart, like I'm just defaulting to this warm up. I know it's adequate and I know I can get it done in 3 to 5 minutes, no matter what. And then you just default to that. And that way you can roll that out at any point. You're like, in case of emergency break glass, you have that one, you pull it out and you're like, all right, we're doing this one. Let's go. And that way you don't have to think about it. Like pre-plan it, stage it. Why not?
If you want to become better and improve your skills on the floor, you got two great options. You got the Knowledge and the Knowledge Pro. The Knowledge, consider it Netflix for coaching. Pat Barber puts out daily content, not always from him, but Fern's in there. Nick Pappas, if you want to learn more about coaching kids, some heavy hitters in the coaching space, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, fresh content coming at you in the Knowledge. And if you want more interaction, if you want more feedback on your actual coaching, check out the Knowledge Pro. Right now, there's two calls per week that are live. We archive them all. So whether you can make them live or not, but you're going to be getting feedback from level 4 certified CrossFit coaches in the Knowledge Pro. Check either of those out. There's a free trial. The link is in the description if you want to learn more. That's it, Fern?
Oh, I thought you ended it already.
All right, this is just like any bad general warm-up. We're going on just a little too long.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.